prevalent today. I mean, if you look at the kind of stories, especially young women who are murdered daily or weekly, we need to manage to actually deal with that and work on it successfully. The issue of, you mentioned something about AfriForum, but what I want you to talk to is this private prosecution. And I want you to talk about it so that you actually as a South African, that this whole thing about private prosecution is not going to be something that sends a message to South Africans that prosecution will be something that is going to be benefiting people with monies only. Because when one of your senior prosecutors left NPA and they joined AfriForum, there was this hullabaloo in the media and people were getting confused, and I think it's now an opportunity for you to actually send the message to South Africans so that you actually allay the fears. Because South Africans should always know that whatever processes will actually be rendered will be processes that are inclusive of everybody in a way that actually helps to improve, in general, the lives of South Africans. Suggestions have been made about the leaked emails, about the state of capture, but I don't hear anything being said also about the collusion of banks to bring down the rent. Can you just clarify as to whether you're dealing with that and how far are you with it, if you're actually dealing with it, because that also is something that is very serious. If you take into consideration that we are now in a dumb status, and if our own banks are actually participating in a process of that nature, I would actually say it's treason. And then the 57 million that you are actually recommending for Vermint in terms of compensation of employees is something that I would actually support. Though I realize that you underspent on compensation of employees, can you just clarify it? When I look at the budget and spending, it looks like you have actually underspent on compensation of employees, but that might actually be caused by the number of vacant positions, especially also critical positions, and also just articulate as to what are you going to be doing moving forward to ensure that this area is actually properly addressed so that we can be in the position to manage to provide a viable service. Thank you. Chairperson.
Actually, I'd recognize Honorable Mulan before you, if you don't mind, I would allow him to proceed before you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable people of the NPA, I want to say thank you on behalf of the country for the good work that you do. I am impressed by the report you gave. I just want some clarification on certain things and see what can we do to assist you. Before I forget, I also want to know, policy of separate development very well. I don't know whether now you have called for separate prosecution or parallel prosecution by the AfriForum. I don't understand. Can you clear? I understand that there is private prosecution is allowed, but I want to find out what the AfriForum wants to do. I'll tell you why I have got a problem, sir. Not that it is part of your work. I understand that there are, in certain farms, young people who are being trained in certain farms, and as well as in Orania and other places. I don't understand what's going on. And I as a politician, am very much concerned about these things. However, I just want your clarification of that. Secondly, I just want to find out your relationship with the police vis-a-vis your how it impacts on your success and your failure in the cases. One is their investigation. I understand many cases, very serious cases, sometimes collapse in court as a result of lack of proper investigation and so on. What can we do to assist you in that case? If you do have a challenge, how can we assist in you in that? Secondly, relating to your backlogged cases, it's painful to hear that there are cases that people stay for more than 2 years or 5 years sometimes in detention, waiting trial. I would like you to check the statistics in that regard, if you don't have it now, and find out what can be done to improve that. And I think that if one time I was saying, if I could have it my way, I would have the prosecutor, the policeman, a magistrate, or a judge, as well as a lawyer, put them in prison for a month, detention, waiting trial. And when they come up, they will know exactly when they postpone the case what it is to be tried. However, what I'm trying to say is that there are quite a number of people whose cases are being postponed, maybe because, let's postpone it on Friday, for example. Most magistrates will go and just postpone cases. And people stay in prison for, mainly for, especially if you don't have money. You just cut a corner like me, And so that is the fourth thing I wanted to find out, your relationship with the court, with the justice system, dismissing the cases where you have worked very hard on cases. What assistance do you want from us in that case? Lastly, I just want to find out as far as the treasury is concerned. I understand there is certain allocation that is given to people, but you are not ordinary department. You also have some revenue that you bring in the sense of corruption. You get some forfeiture assets and you sell some. You have some revenue that you get through that, if I'm not mistaken. But I know that I'm a hunter. When you set up a dog and get some and a wild animal, and then you just if you train it to bring it to you, and you give it the bones of the same animal that it actually fought to get. I'm not saying that treasure does that. But I want to find out is that is there no percentage of the amount that perhaps you may get from there, or do you want us to discuss such an arrangement? Because then now you're doing a lot of good work, and yet you are saying that you're short of money to do the same work. So I want to find out what can we do to assist you in your good work, so that we're able to, so that next time you don't have such problems. I think it's very, very important. Your job is very, very important. It also affects us, everybody, actually. Crime affects almost everybody. We need to be safe at home. We blame you for for if somebody kills my relative and you fail to have him convicted, or he has got a very sentencing is not very good, you're not happy with it. So what I'm trying to say is that we are here as in this portfolio committee to assist the smooth relationship between all the entities that are amongst us. You may have a problem with police, you may have a problem with the courts and so on. And you please bring those to us. If you get right to the chairperson, there are these and we need to be assisted here and there. You don't have to say it now, but so that our role will be to facilitate the working together of the department for the good cause. You are all in the justice system. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to honored members and the NPA team. Chair, a number of questions have been covered by my colleagues. I will just go to the only three questions, quick and short questions. I know Honored Bonga has spoken on the issue of the leaked emails, so I will not go to that. My colleague sent me an SMS saying that we are even scared to send emails to our wives these days. What if it's leaked and it's misinterpreted? But my first question, Chair, will go on the issue of the Absa Bankop matter. I know you didn't touch on it, but when we were talking on state capture, it also came to my mind. I know there are some people who have laid some charges on the matter. I just want to know your involvement there, if any. Are you doing anything? What's your status regarding to that, just for the information? The second question, Chair, I know investigation, as I've said, is the competence of the police. But I just want to know from you, Baba Abrahams, the political killings in KZN, which is a very sensitive matter, and it has been going on for a long time now. Are you involved there in any other way? If yes, are you open to brief us on that? Because it makes everyone scared. When I was growing up, Chair, there was a song by a popular late Maskandi musician, Mfazo Mnyama, that says, "Ngiyasaba ekhaya, buya ekhaya. I'm scared to go home." So we've reached that stage in KZN on political killings. Maybe still on there, on that province, Chair, the last question would be the killings in hostels. I'm sure you are aware of Kiplings in Mlazi. You know, killings have been going on for almost 2 years now. One would be interested also to know if we are doing anything to that, because also in that township, it's an issue that, that raises fear to everyone. Those are the questions that I had. I know they were not covered on your preamble or on your report, but one have an interest on those ones. But coming to a report, I share some sentiments with Advocate Pumlor. I think I'm happy. I'm happy. There are some developments. Yes, we haven't reached that stage where we can say we are 100%, but one can see the difference looking at the previous reports as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Let's have tea and come back at 12.
Thank you. But investigating, I think the story is
good idea.
No, never bow. All right, well. And then how are you?
I'm good, my brother.
Lekker. Let me know if you can get some proper drink for me.
Any close marking shot. And the MPA. Well, the question close marking is for you. Actually, I joined meeting. Actually, I joined meeting shot. All the questions. Should be right. So they know I'm serious. People, let them see the mic. No, sir. So you use my phone. And you don't want people to flash at me. It's okay. With flash story. It's not like 40. Send them to my WhatsApp. Who is there? He doesn't have his questions to be answered.
He's just asking.
There's one to that came. He has left. That came on white man.
This one.
Not on. Yeah. Okay, so even as a member of the public, you are allowed to come?
Yes, ma'am.
Just observe.
Those committees are all chairpersons.
What is this committee?
Justice and Correctional Services. Mm. Some of the MPs are in different, are in more than one committee.
After this meeting, they're like close for the deal.
Yeah, most of them, they are not based in Cape Town. Yeah. It's just like saying they have been sure the honorable people are based in Abuja.
No.
So most of them are flight to catch. So sometimes when they get the long, they say, let's wrap it up, they have to catch, blah blah blah.
I wish I could take someone else.
I can't do like if I want to take, I'll take.
This is my first time. See that they have temptations to want to speak their language.
They speak it. Some of them speak it. Then they bring an interpreter. So from their own committee, I like going to social development. They are always present. All of them, most of them are women and they are Black African. They should always want to speak their language. Most times, you know, there's always interpreter. I like typing reports of them because I'm just like 1.00 can it cost 2 hours? Vernacular, there's no interpretation. I always enjoy it.
What a meeting. What a meeting. I don't get patient with me when you take this meeting at all.
It was too much. While of this small bag, I put in it.
I don't understand. I don't know. 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 I don't Maybe it's the tempered glass on it.
Which glass? The glass on this one.
Let me go and check my resolution. It's a very poor resolution.
I think we should accept that we have eaten up our own time, and therefore we should not accept expect much details on anything, and also our practice is that if we don't have time to receive information on some matters that we are entitled to, we may get responses in writing, and bearing that in mind, I would allow Advocate Abuahans. Yes.
I hear you about the time constraint, and it's rather unfortunate. We started late. We started half an hour later than we normally start. And they're here to report. So to now say that there's no time for them to report really defeats the object of this entire exercise. But if we're going to get answers in writing, I would actually like to receive them. I've been with this committee for 3 years now, and I've never received one answer in writing. Please, if we're going to get answers, I'd actually like to receive them.
Thank you so much, Honourable Chairperson. On the first question in relation to the Tashlani matter, I'm going to let Advocate Molele and Advocate Governor respond to that. If there's time, of course, we'll respond by writing if necessary. But we had a bilateral meeting with IPED on the 14th of last month. About 15 minutes before the commencement of the meeting, we received the letter that's made its way to the public domain, which is somewhat unfortunate that this communication had made its way to the public domain. It goes against the spirit of the engagement that we had, or at least the spirit in which we concluded the meeting.
It Insofar as the second question is concerned, I think the criticism that's directed at me is absolutely unfair. You can't dislike me or criticize me with the greatest of respect because you possibly dislike the person that appointed me to the position. That's not fair. I'm a senior official, I head an institution. Respect the office, respect the institution. Judge the institution on its work. And I say that to everybody that criticizes myself and the institution because they dislike the person who appointed me to the position. I've been a career prosecutor. I've never, ever acted unethically in the entire course of my career. I've taken an oath of office as the National Director of Public Prosecutions. I'm an officer of the court. I've always been well respected in the work that I've done and delivered. But once I'd been appointed to this position, some began to criticize me. That criticism is unjustifiable, and it should stop. I'm not a politician. Please don't treat me or the institution as politicians. We are not. If the institution was used in the past to play political games, it will not happen and it has not happened under my watch. It's precisely for that reason that those, or many who criticize me, it's because I've not allowed the institution to be politically utilized. People can make recommendations to the institution that somebody must be prosecuted or not prosecuted. It's up to the NPA to decide on the merits of each matter. If you're not happy with the decision of a prosecutor or the DPP, ask me to review it. If you're not happy with my decision, approach a court to review my decision. Don't politicize matters unnecessarily. To answer that question in brief, I'm not loyal to any person. I've never been loyal to any person. I'm loyal to me and me alone. I have one God who I am loyal to. I don't have any other gods. There's one God that I worship. Advocate Governor will answer the question on cybercrime. On the Grace Mugabe matter, and of course that's all the questions taken in their totality. Yes, the National Commissioner did phone me. He did engage with me. He did ask me, on the fact that he presented to me, I did say, she must be charged. I did say that. If she has not applied for, I made it clear on the facts that he spoke to me about, I said, if that is the fact, and she's not proffered diplomatic immunity, she must be charged. She must appear in court. Everybody is equal before the law. Of course, she subsequently proffered diplomatic immunity. She applied for it and was granted it. The docket was never presented to me, nor to the DPP office. It's not my decision to make. It's the DPP's matter. This matter, these decisions get made in the areas of the jurisdiction of directors of public prosecution. There's nothing wrong with a national commissioner phoning me and asking me for advice. There's nothing wrong with anybody phoning me for advice and seeking my opinion. Advocate Governor will answer the question on Kandla. She's dealing with the matter. She will respond to. There's been various communications between my office and the DA's lawyers. There's also been various communication with myself, one communication with myself and directly with the, you know, with the leader of the DA on this particular issue. With regard to the issue of Mpumalanga and Limpopo, although Dr. Ramayiti and Advocate Sibongile Mzinyathi will talk about it, the reality is, you know, there was a satellite office in Limpopo prior to the court being promulgated. In fact, files and staff had been, you know, had been moved to Limpopo. There was adequate resources for that satellite office to work. The challenge was always to get permanent staff to come into that office and work there. That's the challenge that still remains. So with the resource constraints, we need to look at equitable utilization of resources, and we have to look at other offices and see where people are in excess, and, you know, and people may have to go to these offices, you know, whether they like it or not. These are things that we need to implement if we're looking at the current challenges that we face. So there is staff to do work, but there are shortage of staff for efficient performance at the end of the day. We can do much better should we have efficient, you know, more staff. We have a satellite office in Mpumalanga. It's also resourced. The court has not been promulgated as yet. We anticipate the court to be promulgated around April next year at the earliest. I'll know more about it later this month. We may even embark on a visit, you know, to the court to see that everything is in order. Of course, again, for us to operate optimally, we need resources in that particular province. The satellite office at this particular point in time, and we will require additional resources which have been identified already. But we've got good people in both areas. We've got really good people that are working hard. So I'm satisfied with what's coming out of there. We just need to add to the resources that's already there to make a significant impact to those communities. That's why those courts have been built there. Access to justice for the people of that jurisdiction.
Honorable Breitenbach, I don't think it's proper that when the advocate Sean is answering the questions which were put to by members of this own committee, that we will interrupt. You have no
terribly kind of you, thank you. You just interrupted me, but they're my questions that he's answering. And he has a propensity to go into more detail that's absolutely necessary.
Once,
and we already have a time constraint, so I'd like all the questions to be answered.
Once
thank you.
Once we have put those questions, they are no longer your questions. They are questions put in the committee. So you better keep quiet.
Thank you, Chairperson. Advocate Molele will speak to the question in respect of the cost of the curators. The issue of the offices that were broken into, two people have been arrested. They're linked via fingerprints. Their conduct and the subsequent arrest have nothing to do with the matters which the prosecutors were involved in. The office of the chief prosecutor was not broken into. It was the office next to his office that was broken into. It's a document office with dockets are kept. There's also video footage that implicate the individuals concerned. So we're satisfied with the progress that's been made in respect of those matters. Of course, the break-ins elsewhere, those investigations are continuing. They weren't part of the question. Marlene Govender will answer the question in respect of the SARS FIC and NPA joint progress. It's a responsibility that I've allocated to her. the SIU and the NBA have entered into a memorandum of understanding. The MOU was absolutely necessary. We signed it, I think, about 2 weeks ago. I speak under correction. Why was it necessary? You know, the work of the SIU goes to recoup government's losses. And when they receive proclamations, they then commence with investigations and legal processes to recoup government's monies. Why should separate investigations take place? Why should the SIU embark upon an investigation when, on the face of it, from the outset, one foresees potential criminal liability? So it's for that reason that it was critical to enhance the cooperation between the SIU and the National Prosecuting Authority, and for that to amount to a memorandum of understanding. Similarly, the asset forfeiture can assist the SIU in respect of some of the work that they need to do. By way of example, recently, President, of course, signed proclamations in respect of the SABC matter, as well as in respect of the provincial government in KZN. What is wrong with the National Prosecuting Authority receiving copies of those proclamations and working closely with the SIU and the Hawks in respect of a criminal and a asset forfeiture or confiscatory investigation? This is to enhance efficiency in the cluster. That is why it's there. And I think results will come to the fore. Advocate Zaniati will speak on the life Esedemeni matter. The PRASA matter, Advocate Governor will speak on that. I don't think we ever made an undertaking that we'd have a decision by June or July in respect of the contracts. The matter's under investigation. In fact, at that stage, or maybe weeks earlier, the prosecuting team had received hordes of lever-arch files that constituted affidavits and other evidence. And of course, they still had to work through all of that. But I'm sure the governor will speak more about it. She does keep me abreast of developments. That's how I know that we could have never been in a position to, you know, to make a decision at the time, because the team was still tirelessly working through the material and having to render advice and guidance to the police who are investigating the matter. So I think we're far off from making a decision, but she probably would be in a better position to talk more on it, should it be necessary. Advocate Mzinyati will speak about the Israel Khamenyani matter. He'll also speak about the IPED complaint in respect of the Mabula matter. He met with the head of IPED on this matter. I remember it because the head of IPED engaged me on it, and I referred him to Advocate Mzinyati. There was an engagement. And of course, again, in the meeting on the 14th of August, this issue was clarified. And IPED accepted, you know, the position that was explained to them at the time. Advocate Mzinyati will also speak about the Flock-Symington matter, and again, the break-in, at the office of the DPP and at the office of the magistrate. This matter is unaffected by that break-in. People have been arrested, and that's it. They're arrested, they're linked by fingerprints, and there's video footage. So I'm advised, and I also have been advised, that the progress in that matter has nothing to do with the break-in. That I've been advised specifically. The issue around the targets, that's something we can look at. You know, it's an ongoing exercise. We always look to reinvent ourselves and do things better. So if we see that our targets are low and there's an influx of work and we see the potential increase of that, then of course it will only be responsible to come forward and say we need our targets increased. Similarly, if it needs to be decreased, we'd adopt the same approach. So I think it's an ongoing exercise. We will just keep on analyzing our performance compared to that of our stakeholders, what's received, and the output of that. It's an ongoing exercise at the end of the day. I accept the concerns raised around AFU and that AFU can do more. This is something I raised in an EXCO meeting a few days ago where I made it clear. Yes, AFU should do more. I expect more from AFU. And we are looking at reinventing AFU. Advocate Molele eloquently explained the position with regards to some of the challenges that are faced and some of the some of the matters that are that are there and that progress will be reported. But that is not enough as far as I'm concerned. And the head of AFU as well as the head of operations are aware of that. I expect greater things from the asset forfeiture unit, and I'm going to impress upon them to deliver more. And we've had key discussions already about certain strategies and what needs to be done. So this is something that we are looking into, and maybe when we appear before you again, we might be in a position to speak more on it. But be rest assured, please maintain, have confidence. Have confidence in the NPA, have confidence in AFU. We want to do what's right. Ultimately, we're reliant on evidence to do so. So we're looking at all the matters where we can act and to source those where we should act. I'm not going to respond to the question as directed by the Honourable Chairperson in respect to the functionality of the criminal justice system. That's a good question. It really is a good question. And of course the issues around accountability and measurement, that is something that needs to be taken up in the matter of urgency because it impacts on all our work and all our performance. We are allocated money on an annual basis and you and the public to see what comes out of the criminal justice system. So I welcome engagements on that. We always need to enhance the system. The issue around the leaked emails, yes, there's been much speculation, but let me go back to the actual media article that was leaked, a so-called leak to the City Press. The reality is, the journalist, and we said that immediately when the article came to light, the journalist did not speak to any members of the prosecuting team. The journalist does not know who the members of the prosecuting team is. There are people sitting in this room that work for the NPA. They do not know who the members of the prosecuting team is. Regrettably, you will also not know who members of the prosecuting team is. It's for that reason, to avoid the leaking of information, that we've kept this very, very close. So to say that the NPA took a position is mischievous and disingenuous. The NPA cannot take a position in respect of issues that are still under investigation. The leaked emails itself needs to be investigated. How can you make a determination on its admissibility if that investigation is still ongoing? And of course, the issue of the constitutionality that's been raised, that's something that will come into consideration during the course and scope of the investigation when all the information and all the evidence has been analysed. The people, and I want to say this loud and clear, the people who leak information to the media and to other sources are people that are not part of the team, people that are irrelevant, that want to appear to be relevant. It's people that have been giving information for many years, but their hands have been tied behind their backs. They're not part of the team. They don't know what is going on. It's these people's conduct that bring the integrity of the institution to disrepute. the question around Advocate Jeeba's appearance at an ACTT meeting, I addressed this, it was either this meeting or the ACTT meeting during my appearance in May. Advocate Jeeba attended one ACTT meeting at my request. One meeting at my request. She was part of working on the policy. Is it the policy? The operational plan. Thank you, Molly. She was part of the team that worked on the operational plan with the head of the Hawks, because he's still the head of the Hawks. And I'm not speaking about the acting head of the Hawks, I'm speaking about General Dlamini. And for that exercise, it was necessary. That was the meeting she attended by behalf. I later joined the meeting. And that's what I said to Scopa. I also made it clear that Advocate Jeeba and Mkhwebi, if I need them to do anything, I would request them to come in and attend on my and attend to issues that I think they should attend to. But that's the only meeting that Advocate Jeeba attended on my behalf. And that much was made clear in the ACTT meeting. And Advocate Jeeba and Mkhwebi are still on special leave. Around the UMCO protest or march, the NPA officers, I actually did, you know, and maybe I should have mentioned that earlier on when I spoke about it. I actually did say to my, you know, to my head of communications, when she brought it to my attention, I said, please engage with them. I'm happy to meet with three or five of the leadership of UMCO on the issue, instead of them marching on the institution. I'm happy to meet with them and engage with them. And hear what the issues are. And today, I'm publicly saying it. I'm happy to engage with the leadership of UMCO. I'm happy to look at us in other ways of them engaging instead of embarking upon a protest action at the institution. Advocate Nzaniati will answer the question on the Zama Zama, and of course again Advocate Govender will speak about the, you know, what we've done in respect of cybercrime, and of course, yes, you know, I think we have provided input in respect of the bill, and we'll continue to do so if requested to provide further input. Am I correct so far? She nods her head. She'll speak on it. I've addressed the issue on Marikana as to where we're at earlier on. I don't think I need to say more about it because we are going to make the announcements in due course in a few weeks' time. And I wouldn't want to flout those processes or speak prematurely thereon. The life SDMNE matter, Nyati will speak about that, as I said earlier on. I welcome the development of a dashboard for, you know, us to come here on a regular basis and give feedback. I'm not sure if you'd like me to speak on the, although I did do that earlier on, the issue of the prosecutor and the investigator, you know, where everything becomes fudged. You don't think it's necessary?
Thank you. Your members can read for themselves.
Thanks. And I did address the issue earlier on and what our responsibilities are. Thank you. Thank you so much. Because I could go on and on and on. we are very sensitive to the plight of our people in respect to the various crime typologies that affect our communities. Not because we did not provide statistics today on certain topical issues, such as issues around cable theft, trafficking in women and children. These are issues that lie very close to our heart. Cable theft, of course, is part of organized crime. It affects service delivery. There's a lot of corruption involved with it as well. There's racketeering crimes that emanate from that. So we have convictions on these matters. So we do have statistics around these matters. And we are working closely with stakeholders in the criminal justice cluster, such as crime intelligence, state security, the Hawks, the Financial Intelligence Center, and other stakeholders to be able to bring to book, people who commit, such crimes. But it does affect service delivery. It impacts on the ordinary man in the street. So there's work that's being done in that regard, and we do have statistics on the successes, but of course on the challenges that we have. And because it was a quarterly review session, we thought maybe these are issues we can speak a bit about when we speak about the National Director's annual report, when we report here in October, and give a holistic view as to what we've done over the year. So we've taken heed of that, Honourable Machuka. The same goes for trafficking in women and children. There's lots of, of course, work that's being done on that. I get kept abreast of developments, of these on a regular basis. And, successes have also been reported in the media. And I'm happy to come back to provide statistics or to provide written feedback, on what we're doing around trafficking with respect to women and children. Because we're playing a critical role, not only for South Africa, but on the African continent, and also globally, around the work that we're doing in respect of the trafficking of women and children. And we have achieved significant successes in this regard. And it'll be good to share that with the committee, as well as with the citizenry of our country. I specifically referred to the issue of AfriForum earlier on, when I said the Constitution provides for a single national prosecuting authority. Yes, the Criminal Procedure Act does provide for private prosecutions, but there's a process. There's a process that has to unfold. I'll use the Grace Mugabe matter, for example, because I think it's out there in the public domain. The matter has never reached the NPA. How can anybody publicly go and say, we will prosecute? The Director of Public Prosecution has not made a decision. The process is as follows. Once we receive a matter from the police or from an investigating structure, and the investigation is completed, and a decision is made, to decline to prosecute, the party that's not happy with that decision can escalate that, of course, to the Director of Public Prosecution and ask him or her to review the decision of a prosecutor, below in his or her office or in his area of jurisdiction. If you're not happy with that, you either make representations to me or you ask me to review that decision in terms of the Constitution and the NPA Act. The ball was not even kicked. The whistle wasn't even blown. So for anybody to come forward and say, we will prosecute if the NPA does not prosecute, it's unacceptable. Our Constitution does not provide for an alternative prosecuting structure. No powers to that effect exist in our law. The reality is that the percentage of cases of successful prosecutions, where there were applications for certificates nulli prosequi, for when somebody asked for a certificate of a private prosecution, there's been one conviction in the history of our law in respect of a private prosecution. That is a murder matter right here in the Western Cape. And I've advised that matter is being taken on appeal. All other private prosecutions were unsuccessful. The crime typologies as well differed process that has to be followed. You have to show that you have a substantial peculiar interest. And I'm not going to go into a legal debate on what the process is, but it's not as cut and dry as if the NPA declines to prosecute, we will prosecute. And I can say lots more about it, but I think for due to time constraints, I'll stop on that score. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm very pleased that the question was raised around the issue of the collusion of the banks. We'll engage with the Competition Commissioner together with the Commissioner of SAR and the head of the Hawks on an array of different matters. So there is collaboration that's taking place to deal with these matters, because there cannot be a process or a law that says a certain category of people are treated differently. Corruption is corruption. So I can assure this committee that there's work that's being done, and I'll be happy to be able to report in due course, probably not by October, but in due course as to what we're actually doing. I did give my commitment that as a collective we will speak to the citizens of this country as to what we're doing in respect of issues around the Competition Commission and collusion related issues. That's not my mine alone. I have the Competition Commissioner, I have the Commissioner of SARS, I have the Acting Head of the Hawks, and of course, and myself. So it would be wrong for me to speak about it. And I think it's better that we speak on it as a collective, because there is work that's being done. We're mindful of the issue around young boys being trained on farms. If that's military training, then it's a contravention of the regulation of, the foreign military assistance, and there's the National Conventional Arms Control Act that makes certain provisions. So there are laws that are there that prevent unlawful conduct around military training issues. So if these young boys are receiving military training, and that military training is there to the detriment to the citizenry of this country, or to the detriment of this constitutional democracy, of course it will be unearthed, it will be dealt with. So we then call upon our intelligence structures to look into these things and bring it to the attention of the investigating authority and ourselves, so we can look into this and deal with them accordingly. We're happy to revert to this committee on the issue of backlog cases. We don't have those statistics available offhand. Am I correct, Advocate Zaniasi? So we're happy to formally respond there to provide that information. The issue of backlog is something very sensitive to us. We do look at that on a monthly basis. We're part of a committee that looks into the status of backlog matters, how long people have been in detention for, awaiting their trials, what's the status of it. So these things are always being looked at. What are the circumstances? Is this a socioeconomic circumstance? Is it an economic factor? Was bail granted? Was bail refused? So we look into the nature of the crime. So we want to alleviate the plight, of the correctional services facilities, and of course the freedoms of the individuals concerned. So on a monthly basis, these are things that are looked at. So there are statistics around that. We do have that available. When we seize money or properties, and the properties are sold, of course it does cost us money. When we litigate, it costs us money. But ultimately, when we see proceeds of crime, or we see, properties, and that is sold off. That money goes into a CARA fund. And the CARA fund, the Poker Act provides for a CARA committee that's chaired by the Minister of Justice. There are two or three other ministers on the CARA committee. I'm also on the CARA committee. And of course, we make recommendations as to how the money that's paid into the fund is ultimately distributed. That was
any conflict of interest? Any conflict of interest to be declared by you?
Thank you for raising that. For a minute there, I thought, that there was a conflict of interest insofar as I'm concerned. that recently served. That something will serve before cabinet in due course. The political killings in KZN is a very important issue for us. In fact, we've been asked by the Commission to provide information to the Commission, the Morani Commission, and to also testify before the Commission. Of course, we've written back to the Commission, happy to provide specific information to the Commission, and we've suggested that the Commission evidence leaders meet with ourselves to discuss and narrow down the issues that we could testify on, should they still deem it necessary for us to testify. What is the NPA doing around political killings? We've constituted a team. We actually appointed somebody at head office to coordinate across the country, all the political violence, political killings. And we've recently received a report from him in respect of the work that he's done. There's teams that are working in KZN, that's working in close proximity with the police and other authorities, on the political killings. Of course, much still needs to be done around the plight of political killings. One of the mandates of the Morani Commission is to establish the root causes of these political killings and how to eradicate them, how to prevent them. But I can assure you, in matters where there's sufficient, reliable, admissible evidence, relevant evidence, decisions have been made to institute prosecution against certain people. There are cases, there are live cases, some matters need further investigation, but we are working closely with the authorities. The challengers are the witnesses. Communities are reluctant to come forward. They don't want to go into the witness protection program. They don't want to leave their families. And as you know, entering the witness protection program is a voluntary exercise. You can't compel somebody. So people, the community is very reluctant to come forward or to go into the witness protection program. And that causes significant challenges in dealing with many of these political violence matters. But if Adam Zunyati wants to speak more about it, he did engage with the provincial government 2 weeks ago on the issue. If he wants to say more, he's happy to, but I think we've said enough. Because we are engaging with the government, with the provincial government, and we have committed ourselves to render the requested assistance to the provincial government and the investigating authorities to achieve the requested results. I think so too with the issue around the Clebelands hostile killings. It's really a difficult matter, to infiltrate what is going in there. You really need your state, your intelligence structures, so it's your crime intelligence, your state security. You need your undercover operations. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in respect of the challenges in the Clebelands hostile. That spreads across the entire province. And even outside of the province. So a lot of work needs to be done, heads need to put together You know, these are people's lives. People are getting killed, and the circumstances in which those people are living as well. So there's a lot that has to be done. There's socioeconomic factors too. Honourable Chairperson, with your indulgence, I then request my colleagues to respond to the issues that I've directed, who should respond to the relevant issues. And they can do so in order of the question as they were and as I've addressed it. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you. I think if, you know, maybe if you could start off, Advocate Mzaniati, please.
Thank you, NCPP. Thank you, Chair and the committee. Let me start with the question around the Khamenyane case. This, of course, was an investigation by IPIT. A decision was made in that case to decline to prosecute. IPIT then applied for the decision to be reviewed by the head of NPS in my office. The matter is receiving attention. The review application by IPIT. The matter about the complaints about the Mabula, General Mabula cases. I can report that a decision has been made in those matters to prosecute some of the suspects in the regional court. There was a complaint by IPIT that the matters took too long to be investigated and a decision to be made. That is one of the issues that IPIT is raising in the letter that they sent to the NPPP on the 14th of August. We are in the process of responding to IPIT why those decisions took too long. But decisions now will be made to charge some of the prostitutes or some of the policemen that IPIT was investigating. In the matter of Flock Symington, a decision has been made by the Office of the Director of Public Prosecution to decline to prosecute. The reasons have been forwarded to us. As the NPPP has mentioned, the two break-ins in the Office of the Director of Public Prosecution in Pretoria and the Magistrate Court in Pretoria. At the present moment, and the evidence that has been unearthed, there does not appear to be any connection between the suspect and the cases that the prosecutors were handling. I can confirm that the two suspects arrested for the break-in in the DPP office as well as Pretoria Magistrate Court is the same suspect. Two laptops indeed were stolen from the Office of the Director of the Prosecution in Pretoria, and a laptop was also stolen in the docket office in Pretoria Magistrate Court. The last report I received did not indicate that any docket was stolen from the office of from the office in the Pretoria Magistrate Court. With regards to the Life Esidimeni matter, the investigations in those matters are continuing. A series of inquests are currently being undertaken. Now, inquests by their very nature are investigative in nature. So, depending on the outcomes of the inquest inquiries, there may be decisions to prosecute if the magistrate finds that people should be held responsible for those deaths. I do know that the Department of Health is also taking some disciplinary action against
decision makers who were involved at the time of the procurement of the service providers for the patients who were removed from life of the domain. On the question of the Zama-Zama, whether we are succeeding in dealing with this phenomenon, we do not have a specific focus on the Zama-Zama itself as a phenomenon. But because in the vast majority of instances, these illegal miners are working in conjunction with organized crime syndicates, all our offices have got organized crime components. And the COPS, together with the organized crime components, have got various operations dealing with the Zama-Zama phenomenon. The act that is mostly applicable in this instance is the Precious Metals Act, which provides for the acquisition, possession, smelting, refining, and beneficiation of precious metals. So the undercover operations and organized crime projects that are currently underway are basically looking at the illegal procurement of these precious metals, as well as their refining by people who don't possess the relevant refining license. So it is approached in the broader context of the organized crime focus area of the Hawks and the police. Lastly, in relation to the political killings, I just to add one aspect to the feedback that the NDPP mentioned. In addition to the focus on these matters in KZN, the coordinator that the NDPP referred to overseeing these matters, there is also an attention being paid to the Eastern Cape, because there's also been political killings in the Eastern Cape, as well as the political unrest cases in Limpopo around the tension in one. Thank you very much.
The question relating to the complaint by IPED insofar as it relates to the asset forfeiture processes. I want to start by saying that it is quite unfortunate that immediately after the engagement between the NPA and the IPED, in which all the issues were discussed and indeed resolved, the very same correspondence that was referred to MPA that led to the meeting is now leaked into the media. Now, the best way to destroy a case as a complainant in relation to asset forfeiture processes, you go to the NPA believing there's a case after the engagement and coming to an understanding that perhaps upon reflection a bit more needs to be done. You then go to the media and say, well, there's a case sitting, an application sitting on the desk of the asset forfeiture unit to seize someone's assets. Now, by their very nature, these proceedings are done ex parte without giving prior notice to them, to our opponents. Precisely what, because we want to avoid the prospects of assets being dissipated. Now, if we are to come here and confirm that we do have an application that is pending in respect of anybody's assets, before I make that statement, I'm going to have to go and let them know and ultimately give notice. It will be unfair that I then come and report in Parliament that I have a pending application in respect of asset forfeiture, and I tell the whole world and the person affected is not given prior notice. In response to the question by the Demetrius, there was no application drafted by IPED. We are currently as asset for future engaging with IPED in the broader context of the investigations they are doing. And the asset for future proceedings is just one of those processes. I can confirm that as late as yesterday, I had a meeting with Mr. Sissoko. He's the head of investigations at IPED. It was a follow-up meeting in respect of the undertakings that we have both agreed with the view of getting to a stage where the investigations are finalized so that an informed decision can be made. So there's no such instruction that, well, this application must be pending and all that. It's important to note that when we bring these proceedings, one has to ensure, especially your non-conviction processes, quick as they may appear to be, one has to satisfy themselves that a proper case has been made before the court. I ended my communication with Mr. Soka informally to say, well, you get the sense that our attempt or my specific attempt is to defeat the ends of justice in relation to my conduct in Pahlane. You guys are well intended to open a criminal case and charge. But I can confirm that based on our discussion as late as yesterday, we have found a common ground and we are proceeding on the same understanding insofar as the aspects that need to be addressed. That would be the take from the asset forfeiture side. Now, indeed, the point I'm reminded by the National Director that such decision and communicating such decision prematurely has an adverse impact and bearing on other people that might have an interest in the subject matter of the application. Now, we're talking about Pahlane or whichever individual. There are other people that have, you know, an interest in the subject matter. So that is why it's important to ensure that we're very cautious in how we approach it. It may well be perceived as abuse of process for that matter. Thanks. Now, insofar as the steps we've taken on the aspect of the curator course, we have indeed reviewed our processes with a view of ensuring that we cap costs where necessary. But I must start by pointing out that curators inherently can by virtue of the processes. When you bring an application, we are not against the property. It is not the NPA or the police that is entitled to get the property. It is precisely the curator. It is in terms of the law. Over the period and in view of the cost-cutting measures, we've explored various ways in which we can manage and even reduce our curatorship bill. Starting with our close engagement with our SECU and other prosecuting units to ensure that priority is given where we have a large estate under management in terms of the assets, we normally make an appeal to our prosecution colleagues to say, well, can you please prioritize this case to ensure that it's expeditiously finalized? Because one, the longer you take, the more costs you incur along the way. We have now appointed a curatorship panel and an auctioneer panel. The idea is that perhaps to streamline in every province to ensure that there's capacity where we can effectively manage, first of all, the appointment of curators. I make the point that in the past, I think we've been criticized for the apparent uneven distribution of curatorships. We now have a panel of curators and auctioneers that will be appointed, that are made available in each province. That will ensure that I think we minimize the cost insofar as ensuring that the services, the location where the services are required is fairly close to the location where the service provider is. So hopefully that is just one of the measures that we embarked on that will most definitely assist. We are looking at our curatorship backlog in terms of the outstanding payments and all that. We are prioritizing that. So those are some of the measures, and I think we can provide a much more detailed report, I think, in the future if required. There was then the aspect of the member asked the emphasis on some of the focus areas. We spoke about the high level of crime, drug dealing, cable theft, human trafficking, and indeed illicit mining. In our report, while of course we might not have achieved on the value targets, the point that we made was the fact that some of those cases that we're able to finalize exceeding our targets, they talk to the specific focus areas that we're talking about. Mention was made by Advocate Mzinyate about the refineries. So instead of chasing all these zamazamas, part of what Asset for Future is then doing is to focus on some of those properties that are used to refine the point shortly to make is that, Chair, we are indeed addressing those specific focus areas to make an impact on crime, not only to communicate on the village. Thanks, Chair.
Something that can cause the heavens to fall unless it is said. We have just allowed men to speak. And
really, I have all my answers ready.
Can you please talk?
Okay. Just do. Thank you. Chair, just on the issue of the cybercrime, I just wanted to say that we have very varied cases. A lot of these cases deal with unauthorized accessing of data, but those cases are generally dealt with in the environment of the prosecutors, the general prosecutors. Amongst the SECU, we've got a substantial number of cases that deal with intrusive attacks, which are a lot more complex. Key loggers being used to compromise our computer systems, dating romance scams, as well as matters that involve syndicates where you've got card crime that is committed. So that is the area where cybercrime is concerned. One of the reasons why there is the success rate is because we have dedicated prosecutors who have been trained in order to ensure that we are able to address the the challenges not only in the cases but also to provide services by way of advice and assistance to other prosecutors that are dealing with these matters in other courts. Around the issue of the Nkanla matter, the specific question that was asked related to what is the reason for the delay. Chair, an honourable member is not here, but the member did allude to communications that we've had, both the NDPP as well as myself. Whenever there has been a request for information, and in particular a request for the decision, we've given them the reasons why. This matter was referred to me by the NDPP because the SECU had made a decision not to prosecute in 4 out of 5 of the cases that the SIU had referred to the SECU. However, there were four other cases that were reported by various concerned citizens and or political leaders of political parties, of which the member's leader was one. And in the circumstances, they all traversed the exact same factual matrix. So it was necessary for me to have a look at all these matters together. As a result, I directed certain investigations, or I requested certain investigations, and I also informed the member, the member's attorney, that I would also be required to consult with the directors of public prosecution in terms of Section 24, Subsection 3. And once the investigations have been finalized and those processes have been attended to, the necessary input would be, or necessary decision would be communicated to the member's attorney. In respect of PROSA, the matter is ongoing. The matter is under investigation. We do not communicate on what is happening during the process of the investigation. Safe to say that this is one of those matters where there is prosecutor-guided investigation. So there's a team of prosecutors. That team of prosecutors has actually been increased in order to ensure that the matter is prioritized and attention is being given to it. The NDPP also requested that I attend to the issue of the interagency strategy with SARS, including the FIC. These engagements have been ongoing. We have, in fact, had progress in terms of extending what is the current mandate between, a memorandum of understanding between SARS and the NPA. There's processes and there's a meeting set up in September for us to take the process forward. I think that was short and sweet. What it is
clear to you that there are some of us who have personal issues, and then we bring personal issues here, whereas we should be representing the public. But anyway, we want to thank you for attending to those issues. But it's really regrettable. and apparently some also come here to catch you out, to find you inadequate, and because you are not inadequate, they get fed up and they walk out, but this is in the course of political behavior. Thank you very much for doing so well, and keep up the good work, and enjoy the freedom of Cape Town. Thank you.
Closer.